constitution in to allow for the creation of new states, specifically section 124, which states the only requirement to form a new state, and that is to have the consent of the parliament of the existing state. And that's the only Commonwealth requirement to forming a new state. So it can certainly be done, for sure.
Given there's a fairly low tax base, whether we like it or not, the big population is in Sydney, Newcastle, and Wollongong. How would we fund health and education and that sort of stuff?
Well, the problem we've got, Simon, is not so much a funding thing. We have a problem with New South Wales in that in the area I'm in, which is the Murray irrigation area, but also in the Murrumbidgee irrigation area and the Lachlan irrigation areas. It's not so much a tax-based problem. The New South Wales government is actually, via the Water Act and the Basin Plan, depriving a lot of people in the electorate of Murray, particularly, and also Barwon, of the ability to earn a living. If you can't earn a living, you can't pay any tax. In fact, if you can't earn a living, you can't even stay in the town that you're in. With the particularly with the Basin Plan, with their removal of, at this stage, 2,750 gigalitres of water, that creates a lot of food production, but also a lot of employment, not only for farmers, but also for a lot of associated industries that assist in the production of that food. All those jobs go. Now, when those jobs go, those people have to leave. You can't stay anywhere without a job. You have to go where there is a job. So it's not a case of whether a state can fund itself. It's actually a case of necessity, because New South Wales, being so dominated politically by Newcastle, Sydney and Wollongong, it's actually depriving the people in these areas of their ability to earn a living. So if you haven't got a job and you're not living, if you don't live in the area, well, it doesn't matter what the government funding might be, because you're not there anyway.
David, if you're doing it along the lines of Murray-Darling Basin, would you want to include the whole of the basin?
I would, for certainly. I would include, ideally, the area, certainly the irrigation areas, which is Murray and Barwon, but also for historical reasons, Wagga is historically part of the Riverina and so is Albury. And also a lot of the irrigation infrastructure is in or near Albury and Wagga, particularly with Hume Weir Yarrawonga Mawala. So a lot of the infrastructure is actually in the Riverina, so I would like ideally to include them. But I've also had a few other comments from people who said, look, it shouldn't just be the Riverina, it should be the whole West New South Wales, west of its Fighting Range, because we're all, unfortunately, so dominated by Newcastle, Sydney and Wollongong, we're all deprived in varying degrees of our ability to earn a living. And there's been some suggestion that the whole west of the Great Dividing Range separates and forms a separate state. And that's quite logical and possible.
Well, I have asked for name suggestions this morning. Someone did suggest New Western Wales, David.
Yeah. New Western Wales, we've never heard that one, but I do have some attachment to the name Riverina. It's a very nice, attractive name. It was first formed in about the 1850s, I think. And what people may or may not know, I know quite a few people around Wagga are aware of the Riverina movement back in the 1930s with Charles Hardy, where the move to separate from New South Wales back then was huge. And there was meetings, the Great Riverbank meeting in Wagga, where there was apparently 10,000 people there. Following meeting the next week at Naranda with another 5,000 people, and then other meetings in Deniliquin and other towns as well. There was a really great movement back there to actually separate, and for much the same reason as what we have now. Basically bad governance from New South Wales, when I say New South Wales, Newcastle, Sydney and Wollongong, where they make decisions that suit them, that's fine, but don't suit us. But there's a real political problem here, Simon, that we have to really understand. Three quarters of the population and politicians live in Newcastle, Sydney and Wollongong. Now, straight away, you can see that's a real concentration of political power in the state in a very, very small area with no real constituents, no real interests. And that's bad. You can see that's potentially bad. But when you also consider in 2015, a state election, 370,000 people in that area voted for the Greens. Now, the Greens, I'll just go back a step. 370,000 people is a huge number of people. When you consider there's only 47,000 voters, approximately 47,000 voters in each electorate, 370,000 Green voters is the equivalent of every voter in Murray, every voter in Albury electorate, every voter in Warra electorate, every voter in the Barwon electorate, plus another 3¾ electorates. So it's a huge number of people that vote for the Greens. Now, the Greens, there is a problem with Greens as far as agriculture goes, because agriculture is very, very important in Murray and Barwon and Albury and Wagga. The Greens are in varying degrees hostile to all agricultural activity. They are particularly hostile to irrigation, irrigated agriculture, and they are also particularly hostile to forestry, to native timber forestry. And there are state forests here, for example, the Millawa Forest at Mathara, that's been logged sustainably for 150 years. And they have a 30-year program where they do a compartment every 30 years and selectively log. That's been turned into a national park by the Labor government back in 2010, and basically just kicked out all the forest workers. Now, there was about at that time, in those dollars, it was an $80 million a year industry, which is probably more like about $120 million a year.
David, someone's just sent to a note, sorry to cut you off, but they've just said concerns about the basin, the plan and the Water Act, which seems to be where this stemmed from, won't be fixed by withdrawal from the state because it's federal law, so you'd have to withdraw from the Commonwealth to escape.
No, very interesting point there, Simon. Now, the basin plan is certainly federal law, but the basin plan only operates with the permission of the states. Water is actually a state issue entirely, and Section 100 of the Australian Constitution states very, very clearly, and there's no doubt about it, that water is under the control of the states. And to support that, Niall Blair, the New South Wales Primary Industries Minister, he has at least on two occasions said that New South Wales may withdraw from the basin plan. Now, Niall Blair says that because he knows that New South Wales can withdraw from the basin plan at any time. So we've got to understand clearly, okay, the basin plan is federal legislation, but it only operates with the permission of the states. The states have jurisdiction over the water in those states. And as Niall Blair said, the states can withdraw from the basin plan any time the states want.
David, you're obviously very serious about this. You've started to take over the local papers, I think.
I'm actually fair dinkum. Certainly. Yes.
So where do you take it? I mean, literally, have you spoken to lawyers or spoken to constitutional lawyers? Could it happen?
It certainly has happened. And there's throughout history, like, for example, the Australian Capital Territory was separated from New South Wales back in, I think it was 1911. So that was a territory separated from New South Wales. So it's certainly happened before, since Federation. But before Federation, if people know the history, of course, Arthur Phillip landed in 1788 and claimed all of Australia right up to the West Australian border for New South Wales. And this is before Federation, but, for example, in 1825, Tasmania, or Van Diemen's Land at the time, separated from New South Wales. They were colonies at the time, not states. New Zealand was actually part of New South Wales. It separated in 1840. Victoria separated from New South Wales in 1851, and Queensland separated from New South Wales in 1859.
We've only got about a minute and a half before the ad, David. Yeah, a couple of things, like the Brexit deal, would you expect those state government to charge us for, the hospitals they've built and the roads that they're leaving behind?
Oh, absolutely not. The people of the Riverina have paid massive amounts of tax that have funded all the government infrastructure in the Riverina. In fact, the people of the Riverina have paid their fair share, absolutely. So, I wouldn't say that anybody could say, no, you owe us all this money. No, that doesn't carry any weight with me at all, Simon.
David, would you suggest, another star on the Australian flag, or what would happen then?
Oh, you'd have to have another... you'd have to have another... not a star, it's the on the Federation Star. You'd have to have another... whatever those triangle bits are called. Yeah, you'd have to stick another one of them on.
Yeah, one of those, whatever they are.
Yeah, one of those things, yeah.
You're suggesting it'd be more like, I guess, the Territory, like Northern Territory of the ACT?
Look, as long as it's a self-governing entity, I would accept that, but as long as it's a self-governing entity that has jurisdiction over the water, over the timber, over whatever happens within that area. I think a state is the best because...
It's self-governed as opposed to things
that are not it's entirely self-governed. And look, there's a lot of competent people in the Riverina, Simon, and none of us doubt that. There's no doubt that we can govern ourselves very, very effectively.
David, we're coming out to 9 o'clock news. Okay. It'll be interesting what sort of feedback you get from those ads, but good luck.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, Simon.
There's David Landini, a Walkerill resident, believes the Riverina and possibly further west, further north of the New South Wales should break away from Sydney. It's 9 o'clock.
Good morning, Sally Matthews with ABC News. A man has